Good morning, everybody. It is that time again. It is Date Morning Live. I haven't decided yet. Super excited to be here. I'm feeling exceptionally energized, pumped. How about you, Chris?
Oh, yeah. No, I feel really good, really refreshed. We'll tell you why here in a second. But yesterday was the very first Girl Scout cookie booth, and I was feeling exceptionally tired and worn out, standing on my feet for 4 hours at the booth, playing chauffeur for Yaya as the boss of her own little entrepreneurial program with Girl Scouts. So it was really good, but I was really tired. But this morning got me in a great mood. I feel refreshed for many, many reasons.
So for you guys that are new, Chris and I do a morning date every morning. It originated because we heard someone say how they own a business and they could never get to date night. Like, never. If it wasn't the business, it was a kid getting sick. And so they did a morning date. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea, Chris. Let's try it. And we tried it, and we do it like morning date on speed. But I have to go look at my calendar because I keep track of how many. We almost do it every day. We don't do it every day. We try, but we almost do it every day. But we're probably on over 500 morning dates. And then when I travel, I meet people that like, oh my God, I've tried your morning dates. Like, I love them. Me and my husband are now having breakfast together, coffee together. And so I love like this movement of like sharing. It's the microtherapy that like we need as entrepreneurs, as husband and wife, as friends. It even makes us better parents.
So much.
Because there's more alignment. We don't have a topic today. So if you guys are new, it's just coffee and conversation. It is like real talk, life unfiltered. And if you know Libby,
it's
at all.
Coffee and chaos.
It's not filtered at all. How's the book going? It's going good. So one thing I learned is to do this right, it takes a lot of time and a lot of money. Money, because a lot of time, it's got to be proofread a zillion times. It's got to pass through a bunch of people's hands. So it's currently in draft, being reviewed by the writer of Buy Back Your Time, Paul. Mm-hmm. So Paul is currently reviewing it. He was the ghostwriter for Dan, and it's under review. I'm nervous because we worked with him to write it, but he's reviewing the first draft.
Which means that there's going to be words on paper that is like the stamp for what's to come. That yeah. Living legacy away.
No, and I was doing all good and trucking along through the process until I was at a thing with Dan, and he had said to us, you know, a few of us in his group have written a book using the same people that he used. So I'm using the same publisher. I'm saying using the same writers. And he said to us while he's standing there, and it's a small group of people, he's like, you know, once you do this, it's you can't delete it. You can't erase it. It's put in the world, out in the world forever. And I was like, oh my God. I felt the anxiety like start to like just blah. I'm like, oh my God, what if? And then they're asking you like, what color of paper? Do you want off-white or white? What size of font? What type of font? How do you want the quotes? Do you want it in brackets or parentheses? And I just felt like the anxiety. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. What if I choose wrong? What if I choose wrong? It's forever. I can't delete it. So luckily I have a great team. I have a team of writers. I have a publicist, and they do all of the work, and they actually just tell me what to do. Okay, Libby, now you do this. Okay, great. Now you do this. Okay. And so the goal is, and the publicist is one of the best. And the goal is, you know, you have to pick a segment of people, and who's this book for? If you want to rank as a New York Times bestseller, so on my vivid vision, I want it to be a New York Times bestseller. So we have to pick a segment of people or a sub-segment. And so the book is the book you need before Buy Back Your Time, right? Love it. But like, what if I don't have money right now to go hire someone to buy back my time? Or what if I'm scared to do it? Because again, I don't want to, maybe I'm the only breadwinner or the primary income earner in my house, and I don't want to jeopardize that quite yet. Or what if I don't have the processes yet? Because you have to hire a certain level of people to come in and write your processes. But if I'm buying back my time, and right now it's that dollar value isn't high enough, I got to do some of the legwork. Like, there's no shame in hustle and like grinding it out. And that's what my book is about. It's like the step before. How do I create the micro playbooks, the cadences in my business, the rhythm? So it's small business owners. And it is one not written for women, but it's written in a women's tone because I'm a woman.
So I want to say it in a very holistic way, is it's positioning yourself for freedom.
Yes. Yes. So super exciting and nervous. Nervous as in like, even like, what if I pick the wrong segment of people? I want everyone to like it. But then, you know, you have to pick. And I'm like, but I can't. So that's why I did. I'm not going to lie. I dropped a pretty penny to do this right, because it's forever. I don't want to rush it. It's forever, and it's for my kids. Even though my kids, well, my older son owns his little own business. He does social media marketing for cleaning companies. I don't want to do it wrong. I want to do it right for my kids so that they have this forever. I want to make my parents proud, like my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister and my husband. And so I want to do it right. And it's going good. We're in the final stages. There's some things that I have to do that is kind of weird. Like, you know, I have to put author on my social media profile now because we need Google to start pulling that I'm an author and associate that to my knowledge panel. Whole nother topic I could teach you about if you want to ever be like a coach or an author or an industry mentor. Knowledge panels are extremely important.
And I think that's one of the things that you have kind of teed up inside.
Oh, my knowledge panel looks sexy. It looks beautiful. Yeah. But I've been working on it for 2 years prior, knowing that this is the direction we're going, because it takes time to build a knowledge panel.
And that's more next level, the whole 1LD leader lifestyle positioning that way. Last time we talked about queuing in your spouse on business happenings.
It was the 10X mindset.
It was the 10X mindset. What was it? It was 10X mindset with 10X accountability partner as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So great. I loved it. Mindset and philosophy or psychology is something that I love and I love to talk about. Sometimes it's boring, but it's just something I'm really passionate about, because if you can figure out people, if you can figure out yourself, then you can pretty much figure out the rest of the world.
So what did we do this morning to figure out ourselves?
So we had a virtual chakra session.
So in my goals, and along with like my mentors that mentor me, there are some things that we have to do. They ask us to do. And one is that real, that emotional therapy, right? That spiritual therapy, actually spiritual therapy. And so by doing that, like, we have certain things in place. And so today we had a virtual chakra session. If you're interested in knowing more about it, it was Michi DeLucian, Chris's sister. She is amazing. So we hired her to guide us through that spiritual therapy, that chakra session this morning through Zoom. It was amazing. I feel like light and energy, and I already have energy, so it could be dangerous, energetic and just very balanced.
So for me, I think what the word that comes to mind for me is more connected, I guess, mentally. I feel a little bit more locked in.
Connected with what? Like yourself or the world?
Well, myself, and also being like in tune with what's going on around me.
As you guys know, everything we do is public, so all of our employees see it. Like, whether you're a cleaner for Organize It, you work for Boot Recruit, you're the developer for Sell Convert Clean, or you're my children or my mom and dad, everything we do is public. We have no filter, no barriers, no secrets. And that's an amazing feeling to have. There's no skeletons in my closet no one's going to find.
Which is the concept of date mornings.
Which is the concept of date mornings, yeah. But we got off track. So, you know, you were saying that 10X mindset is all about, you know, you were saying psychology is all about understanding yourself and people.
Yeah.
But I think it starts with us.
It does. Yeah. Because whether you would like to admit it or not, everything in life, and you've heard this before, the saying, but hold it as absolute truth, everything in life is a sale. And this is, again, even the concepts, there's a great book, 48 Laws of Power. It'll scare you to death.
On my desk right now, when I get upset, I go read it. And I'm like, law number one, don't outshine the master.
But again, everything in life is a sale, whether you like to admit it or not, whether you feel that I want to boil down life into this fundamental practice of selling versus not selling. But at the end of the day, regardless of how kind, empathetic you are, there's still elements of sales, selling, again, winning people over, that will always be there, whether we want to admit it or not. Because I used to be closed out to that mindset of, I hate salespeople or I hate sales. But everything that I do, the inflection of my voice, what I'm saying right now has...
What are you selling right now?
I know. Everything that I'm saying is in terms of I'm selling something, even if it's adopting a different mindset.
You're selling it because you're trying to get your way or your response.
Or my perspective.
Outcome that you're like, that's why it's a sell. It's not anything to do with money.
No,
it's like, I'm trying to get what I want. Like, whether it's, I want this restaurant for dinner, so mm-hmm. I'm going to sell it my way, or, you know, it just depends. Like, but it is, everything's a sell. And I still hate sales, but I don't know why, but it is a sell. It's just mindset for me. We have some questions.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's it, is psychology and mindset. And just, again, being more in tune with yourself, which I think is huge with these chakra sessions, it gives you that balance, that center, so you can be more perceptive, more aware.
Ooh, oh, I want to hire Michi to do chakra session for the virtual team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That would be great. Yeah. I just made me think of it. I see Eliani on here, but it's great. It's grounding. I think one of the breakthrough moments in my life in the last 2 years came from things that people made me do, not made me, but exposed to me.
Yeah.
And I gotta pay it to like a group I was in. So I was in a high level software group, software owners, and we meet every quarter, and first half a day is learning from great teachers. And the second half a day is, so it's 2 days. The first day is something scary. Something that scares the bejesus out of you. Like if you guys have seen me rappel off the side of a building or
this is all literal, by the way. It's not just,
oh no, that we were doing those things, and they do something to, and it, so it's afternoon activity. I've learned how to Tai Chi kickboxing or Muay Thai kickboxing. We had to go in a ring with somebody. So they make us do scary stuff. And then the second half of the day, because the morning's learning, second half of the day is very, very spiritual work, whether that's sound baths, Reiki breathing, chakra, meditation, yoga. And man, has those really changed the way I think about myself and understand myself. Great insight. But that's why we're feeling like if we seem like we're on some sort of, I can't say the words on Facebook because I'll probably get in trouble, but mood altering substances, it's probably because we just got finished with a chakra session.
If we're a little bit more spunky, that could be why.
So in that group I'm in this high level group, and you know, everyone was, when our mentor told us to do something, everyone just did it. And I'm over here saying, but like, oh, I don't have the money, but like, I'm not ready, but I have kids, or but this or but that. And I was sitting here watching people go faster than me. And you guys think I go fast. Like I was watching some of these people go faster than me. And I was just, I got mad. And I just got mad at myself. I'm like, why? I just don't understand. And it was one of my self-sabotaging tendencies that we worked through in one of our couples thing to say, you know, I'm just self-sabotaging. You could use money as an excuse, but money is the excuse. It's not necessarily the reason. So what did I do? I sold my car. I don't even have a car. I got rid of my car payment. I got rid of my car insurance. I don't go anywhere. And if I do, I Uber to the airport, get on a plane and fly there. And so I made adjustments so that I could find the money. So there's this great phrase that it's like, if do you need it or do you want it? If you think you need it to like establish authority or for it being a great like funnel or it's going to make me an industry leader. If you think you need it for that reason, you're never going to find the money. But if you want it, you will find a way to make it happen. There's a difference psychologically when we use the words need or want. Like my kid does not need a $300 pair of tennis shoes, but he wants them. And he will find a way to scrounge up $300 for a freaking pair of tennis shoes, right? I met a friend today, no, this week for lunch. She's in the cleaning industry and she has a side hobby about handbags. And these are like 20,000, 60,000 handbags. Dollars, by the way. And, you know, we talked about this, the need versus want. And I'm sitting here saying, I'd never pay that kind of money, but I don't want it. Like, but if I wanted it and I wanted a book and I wanted it for me, not really anything else, and I found the money. Believe me, it wasn't cheap. I think I've dropped about $100,000 so far it's been a year and a half process, but I also found it in other places by cutting certain things from my life. There are different people out there. You don't have to spend $100,000. What I'm saying is that it's the need versus want. You got to ask yourself, do I want it? Because if you do, you will find a way, you know, or do I need it? So I need the brakes changed in my car and I need new tires. Right? Like that mindset. But I don't feel like doing it right now. There's a lot of things we need that we put off and we don't do. But when we find something we want, it doesn't matter how much it costs.
Yeah. Because fundamentally, and we talked about this last week in our date morning, if you want to recap on that, but need is based on fear. Want is based on desire. And just as you guys know, desire is a much stronger pull than it is with fear, because fear you want to kind of pull back or retract, step away from. And desire, you're talking about, let's just say caffeine, sex, other things. It's a very strong, it's one of our strongest drivers. And so anchoring those things to desire is going to get you a lot further than it is through the basis of necessity.
Yeah. One of my favorite chapters in Think and Grow Rich is sex transmutation. the emotion and how we take that emotion. It is the strongest emotion we have in our body, how we take it and transfer it to something we're doing. And I actually learned that through when I go live, that emotion, how do I transfer it so that when we are live or I'm teaching in front of people or on stage, I take that emotion with me to make myself a better teacher. Very empowering. I never thought that would relate like when I was reading that chapter, but it's like, wow, this is amazing.
This is like and I will say this right now is, I know it sounds crazy right now without context, text transmutation, the concept of feeding off of that desire or that anchoring to a desire will bring you very close. It's like the gateway to what you call, some people call it flow, some people call it Zen, some people call it like that pure state of intention. It will be that gateway to that purest state. And with that comes extreme clarity, I want to say like progress or momentum.
Momentum, forward progress, future focus progress. And so, you know, that's why, you know, I've spent so much time learning in the book process. So we're going to go back to the book. Oh my God, that book pulled every bit out of me. I didn't even know there was some of the stuff inside of me when they pulled it all out, because I went through sessions. Oh my God, I think we went through like 30 some sessions of pulling all of my information out. And I was like, oh my God, I said that? Where'd that come from? But it was I will say it's one of the most exhausting processes, because it needs all of your attention and you have to give everything you have emotionally and mentally, but also like digitally. I had to give them like everything I had because they cipher through things. And it was so interesting and exhausting to just see all of it come out. And that is actually one of the basis of when I said yesterday I launched that I was now starting a program for business owners looking, you know, to grow and diversify and have other companies. But the book writing process is what really sparked this, because once I got it all out, I said, oh my God, everything I've learned, everything I've done, there's a method to the madness of what I'm doing. And the book really helped me see that, but also structure it to see it, like to see a real program of like, how do you take people through a phase? Because an owner at a $500,000 company is a completely different owner than a $1.5 million company. So I posted something and it said, you know, what is everybody's big milestone for the year? And so many people said $1.5 million. They want to be $1.5 million company. I can tell everyone what the one thing that you have to work on to get there, almost what it is. And it's mindset. It's next level mindset. It's I need to be a different person. I need to show up different. I now need to be a leader instead of a doer. And that all comes from mind and better understanding of ourself. Because at a $500,000 company, I am a completely different version of myself than a $1.5 million owner.
Yeah.
Completely different. But the book has been, it's been phenomenal and scary all at the same time.
Yeah. I was gonna say, because at 1.5 million, mindset does not mean more efficiency, more being able to do more work, things like that. No, it's literally what's inside your head that is the difference.
Yeah, it's mindset. It's what's in your head. It's fear. And that's why that group that I'm in, when we go, we meet quarterly, and here they won't tell us what it is, right? They don't tell us what it is. They just tell us the proper clothes to pack. So one time we went and they said, bring a bathing suit. And we were like, oh God, what are we going to do? And they had trained us. They had Navy SEALs come and train us on how not to drown, right? Because it's fear. You have to control yourself. So what they do, they tied us, our hands together after they trained us, tied our hands together and threw us in a pool, so that we could learn how not to drown. Now, granted, we could have stood up tall because we weren't in a pool deep enough, but it was the whole point to stay down and how do we control our breathing and our mindset so that we don't drown. And it was scary. It was probably scarier than rappelling off the side of the building, but it was on purpose and it was controlled and you were putting yourself in those situations. It's mindset. The stuff that happens at $500,000 is 10 times harder and worse, but not different than at $1.5 million. It's just that, do you have the mental capacity to handle it? Love that topic. So one of the great things that we're going to do in our program that I'm doing is that I'm bringing in coaches, I'm bringing in experts for you to meet and then hire if you want. It's not all about me, because I don't have all the answers. It's about me bringing everything together that I know that we need to get to the next level.
Yeah.
And Michi's one of the people I will be bringing in on a higher level when it comes to mindset. So yep. Love that. And we had another question, I think.
Yep.
My son runs our organize it, social media. And he's very, very meticulous at his craft. And he only takes a handful of people because all of our posts are individual to our company. And they're not cookie cutter. I was going to say he learned everything from his mother, but he didn't. It's funny. Our son, he's 26 and he lives on his own. He lives in Oklahoma and he was renting a house with his friend and his best friend from high school. They were renting a house when he still lived here in Florida. And him and his friend had a deal, right? Of how they took care of the house. They split the cost and they were getting ready to move out because the lease was ending and he was going to move to Oklahoma. And so they had to prepare the house for their deposit. They wanted their deposit back. And I'm proud of them. They were both in their 20s, they had the house for 2 years. So I think they had it when they were 22 to 24. They got their deposit back. Two male, 22-year-olds living in a house by themselves. They got the deposit back and they were preparing the house. And so Logan, his roommate, was doing all the handyman stuff, like patching anything, painting this. Oh, they needed to fix the closet door. And I said, Billy, what are you doing? He goes, I'm cleaning, Mom. I'm cleaning the house. I'm in charge of cleaning and making sure everything's clean and ready for the move out. He goes, Mom, that's like the only thing that you left me with. I don't have any handyman skills. I can't help repair the house. All I can do is clean it. And I'm like, well, that's rare for a guy. Uh-huh. So good job. He knows how to clean. So I just thought that was funny that's the one thing that we left him with as an adult was really good cleaning skills. Anyways, I didn't have the best week this week.
No?
No, but the session that we just did this morning really helped. I didn't have the best week. I want to know who, listening has had, have you had this kind of week this week or is it familiar? I think on Wednesday night, I was up at 1 and never went back to sleep.
Oh, you're right. You were up until 5 o'clock.
I was up until from 1 to 5, and then I finally passed out at 5, and I think I slept till 6:30.
When I woke her up at about 7:30.
He woke me up at 7, and then two nights ago on Thursday night, so that was Wednesday night, Thursday night, I was up again all night from 1 to, I don't even know if I did go to sleep. Yeah, I did end up going to sleep around 5 or 6 for an hour or two. Something popped up on my Facebook feed, and it was Carlton dancing from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, his dance. It is only 3 hours of sleep or 100 problems, 3 hours of sleep, but I'm still showing up.
In my fabulous self.
In my fabulous self. And that was me this week. That happened to me twice. I think I got 3 hours of sleep on Wednesday night, if that, and 3 hours of sleep on Thursday night, if that. And it wasn't anything bad. We had worked remotely. We picked up and took our laptops to work, to leave the house. Mm-hmm. If you're working from home, you know it can get so monotonous and boring. So we went and worked poolside, and that did it for me. My brain just went into ideas and innovation and creativity, and I could not sleep. I was so excited. I wanted to work. So the best thing to do for me is to not fight it, to just get up and work.
Yeah. And I will let you know a secret that I firmly believe, and that is that your best productivity comes in moments of delirium. This is the stage where you go from I'm clear-headed, I'm focused, I have energy, to I'm tired, because there's this there's this natural curve, and I'm trying to do it so that you guys can see it the right way. But you have this level of energy and focus and getting things done. And then you hit the I'm starting to wear out and I'm a little bit worn out and productivity just crashes. And then there's this moment of delirium, which is I am past the point of exhausted, but I am so unfiltered that there's this extreme clarity that comes with delirium. This is the 1 o'clock in the morning where you're so tired, but somehow your hands are still typing on the keyboard and the productivity level is double what it normally is. But you can't sit in this for too long. But in this moment of delirium, you can be twice as productive as long as you stop it and then you pull back and reset.
Yeah.
This is the 120 hours that Elon talks about. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk. Is there's moments of delirium that come in that actually double the, I feel like they double the productivity, but again, in very short spurts because you cannot sustain that.
So I did it I did it one night and it was great. I captured all, so Kathy, what was bothering me, my brain, because we had changed up our setting and went and worked poolside, we still worked, but it allowed for a change of environment and pace, and it brought back all those like excitement and ideas. So if you're feeling like burnt out and overwhelmed, it's because you're, like, you're either working at the same thing over and over and over, or in the same place, the same setting, the same desk, like change it up. And so because we had went and worked remotely and then we had dinner downtown without the kids, like we just were talking and there that excitement came back and ideas, and I could not go to sleep. Like I just couldn't go to sleep. So I was up working. You could have gotten an email from me at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I know they're probably like, why is she awake right now? Nothing was bothering me except for the fact that like, I felt like if I slept right now, it would be a waste of time. And so that was Wednesday night. And then Thursday night was a whole different reason why I couldn't go to sleep. It was, so, you know, we talk about our health journey a lot here, and I have severe allergies. I have an autoimmune issue that causes really bad allergies to certain things. And being on our way of eating, right? Mm-hmm. It has subdued all of them. Like I don't have to take medicine. I'm great. Barely bothers me. But if I come into contact with something, it can trigger it. So like on Thursday night, I was dying because I couldn't breathe and I had to break out the medicine, and then the medicine made me feel bad. And then that's why I couldn't sleep on Thursday. It was not fun. It was no innovation going on. It was just couldn't sleep because I couldn't breathe.
Just trying to survive.
I was trying to not die in the middle of the night while sleep, while laying down.
Yeah. And I think it was because we were clearing out some brush, and we had, honestly, it was a great fire, but we ended up having some brush and burning that. So probably a little bit of that coming in contact with.
One, step number one, because you'd be surprised how many people are like, I'm great. Everyone else sucks. So that's to me like step number one. One thing that I have done that really helped me, and this goes back to, it really goes back to confidence, and it does have to do with money, was I, and Chris can contest to this, I try to put myself in rooms that scare the crap out of me. Like my first one was probably like Jonathan Potashnick. It was all lawn care guys. It was all dudes. I joined his elite group, and it was probably like $1,200 a month to be in this group. He only had 25 people. And I looked up to him so much because he was the first person that I'd really ever met that owned a software, because he owned Service Autopilot. He used to. And a home service company. He owns a very large landscape and lawn care company. And I just wanted to be in that room. I wanted to learn. You had to hit a certain revenue level to get in. And I just wanted to be there. But it made me uncomfortable because, one, it was a lot of guys. And I love all those guys. They have actually turned into some lifelong friends. And, you know, it's like next level, pushing me out of my comfort zone, holding me to a higher level of accountability. And then I joined the Dan group. Mm-hmm. After that, Jonathan shut his group down because he went like on a sabbatical to rest, and he had been mentored by Dan. And so then I went to Dan and I joined that group, and it scared the living daylights out of me. And this was before Dan Martell was famous. It scared the living daylights out of me, but it up-leveled me, just me as a person. It's like, oh my gosh, I got to have my crap together. Like I got to show up. There's no comfort in these groups. Like there is no comfort. They're nice people. But when I mean comfort, I mean, they're going to hold you to a standard that they see in you that you don't even see in yourself.
Yeah.
And then I've taken the next level, and I actually hired the coach that coached Dan Martell. And that is like next level. And so there's this great statement, is that you hire a mentor to find your next mentor. You don't hire a mentor to stay with that mentor forever. That mentor is meant to expose you to the next mentor. And if your mentor's not doing that, then maybe look at your mentor. But the whole point is like, who taught them? And then it's to the next. And then, and every, you know, the new group I'm in, the guy that taught Dan, he made a really powerful statement. He goes, you know, it should last 3 years. Like you should get what you need for in about 3 years. And then you're looking for the next thing, right? And if maybe the group doesn't have that, then you have to leave, or you have to find the next mentor, because you can only take so much from one person, right? There's only so much to learn. And so I keep chasing the mentors of my mentors. And I'm like, I want to hire them. Now, here's the thing. It's extremely expensive, like extremely. What I pay for one of the groups is probably what somebody makes in annually.
Probably, and I'll say this, probably what a lot of people make with in revenue in their company as well.
Total for the groups I'm in, probably. For one, you know, you're looking at $60,000 to $80,000. But I didn't start there, right? I started with like, oh, I saw this group, I like them. And then like, okay, who's teaching them?
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to chase that. And then now like, who's teaching that person? And then I started to then hire these people because I'm like, I love how they do this, but where's the source? Where's the source? Where's the source?
Yeah. And so, yeah. And that's a great point, is having some of the groups kind of have this, they're just there to be there. as opposed to there to force you into growth, force you into the next you, which I think is missing from a lot of things, because it's really hard to accomplish, is finding a way to practically get somebody to move from where they currently are to a better version of themselves.
And these groups don't happen if there's 500 people in it.
Right.
These groups don't happen if there's 2,000 people in it. These groups happen when there's like 25, 50 people. High level of accountability, because it's personal. It's like, I'm going to call you on your crap if you show up again and you complain about the same thing. I'm like, that happened to me in one of the groups. And they're like, Libby, stop complaining. You've been griping about this for 3 months. Do something about it or shut up. And I was like, let me out. I was like, oh my God, but that's not going to happen in a group. Now there are places for groups of 2,000 and 500 and 1,000 and 20,000. But I'm talking about such high level of accountability, and they know you and they know what you're hiding behind. They can call you on that crap.
And that's exactly the concept of mastery. And the idea of 10,000 hours is, at a certain point, the amount of training and refining, one is your innate talent, and two is your skill sets of what you currently know, is at a certain point, there's that glass ceiling, and we've all heard it before, is there's a certain point where you hit this glass ceiling and you have to break through. But the problem is that a lot of these larger, more generalist type of groups won't allow you to have enough pressure to break through that ceiling, because at that point, you've maxed out the ability to refine your skill set, refine your innate talent, because you then need to start all over with a brand new set of skills or a brand new set of talent to refine and perfect. It's like you've grown 80% and you are really locked in. But for mastery, it's that in that 20% into that 5% that is really going to take you to the extreme, where you don't see, again, law of diminishing returns, is you don't see the output of results as easily as you did with the first 80%. You now need to perfect the stuff that doesn't feel like it's worth perfecting. And that's where these smaller groups come in, because they will force you into that, perfecting the things that you don't feel are going to lock you into the next level. But it will take that what is needed to break through that ceiling where you can't get it elsewhere.
Yeah. And one thing that, as I was explaining this, listening to Chris talk, I don't think this can be done with one-on-one coaching. I do one-on-one coaching for the cleaning industry. But I'm looking back at, like, how did I do this journey? How did I map it out? How much money was I willing to drop? And believe me, when you pay attention. Like, one of the groups I'm in, I'm like, I pay so much money. I'm like, oh my God, you better do this crap. Everybody better show up. And you actually get fined by not showing up. They charge you $500 if you don't show to the meeting. They have your credit card on file. They don't play. But that's how you achieve next level, like leadership in you and what you're trying to achieve and what you can actually achieve. But I don't think that this can be what I'm trying to explain for up-leveling leadership in yourself. I think that it's really hard to achieve that in one-to-one coaching, because it's just you and the coach, right? I think these small groups, like I said, 25, 50, 60 people, you're with your peers. And like that coach, that person, that mentor is calling you out in front of your peers to say, like, oh my God, if you complain about this one more time, we're kicking you out of the group. You're like, and everyone agreed. Libby, like, you've been talking about this for 3 months. And you're like, oh God, like, shut up. To me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to do something about it.
The one-to-one coaching, coaching, is linear accountability.
Yeah, it's more linear accountability.
And so again, if you think about the glass ceiling, where you get to a point of where you're trying to achieve mastery, is that linear growth in yourself and that mindset in the next level of the skill sets will not be enough to break through. You actually have to have more accountability, more effort to break through that ceiling of, again, think of that ceiling as your natural tendency to retreat to comfort. Is that, honestly, if everything else were excluded in the world, I think that glass ceiling, if you were to put a name to it, is comfort. Is that you weren't comfortable enough to put in 10 times the amount of effort to get 1x the output. Because again, that's
hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.
It is.
Yeah. So I have a very close friend and he's in the software group with me. And we're talking about mastery. We're talking about these small groups, right? Because some of these coaches and mentors have the large group. But it's like when you're ready for next level, you need to go to this like next level accountability. So it was so funny. We were standing there and he was taking questions and somebody stood up and asked a question about how do I do this? Or, you know, I want to reach this next level. And we're all chasing that third mountain, right? Our third mountain is like our purpose. And this was his third mountain. He's done all this work on it. It was his purpose, but he just can't seem to find the motivation to like be consistent at pursuing it. And it was so funny. He said that. And our mentor just like ripped him a new one, like said, if you don't do this and you don't do this every day, I'm going to check and I will kick you out of this group. So don't come back here and complain that you can't find. It's because you either don't want it or because you know how to do it. I've taught you how to do it. Either you don't want it or it's not your true purpose. And it was funny because and he said it in front of all 25 of us, right? And afterwards we went to lunch and he was so funny that my friend who got up and said, like, I just can't find like the motivation to do it consistently. He goes, you know, I knew the answer. I knew it. I just needed him to call me on my dookie, on my, you know what? I needed a kick in the butt. I needed a kick in the butt. I needed someone to just say like, stop making excuses. It's funny because now he's consistent. We're friends on Facebook and I'm always liking his posts because he's doing it consistently every day because he doesn't want to get kicked out of the group for lame excuses.
Yeah. And speaking of people who are always trying to push to the next level.
That's our 11 o'clock alarm.
Yep. That's my 11 o'clock alarm to protect Libby at all costs.
Protect me from myself.
If we didn't make you cry, we didn't do our job.
No. And I think that you're not ready for it though. And so when so I had a coaching person, they're not a customer, a coaching friend. We were in a session and he's like, Libby, I know there's more. I feel it inside of me. He goes, it's not just cleaning. I don't know what to do with it. There's more to my capability. This is not filling my bucket no more. He's like, there's just so much more and I can feel it, but I don't know how to pinpoint it. When you have that feeling right there, like there's more, but I need to up-level me. That's when you guys need to go pursue that next level of accountability. Because I think we need the groups to come in when we're working on processes and sales and like it's great for that. But when you feel inside of you that there's more and this is not actually your true purpose, like you love your company, but there's more in there. That's when you need to go chase that next level. The groups that like, if I don't show up, it's $500 charged in my card. You make sure your butt shows up early. When that happens, that's when you should start chasing that because the larger groups won't fulfill that, right? It's the community's great and the processes and systems are great. Don't get me wrong. I love processes and systems, but there is something missing that you in you that you know still lives in there. And that's when you have to kind of go find that next level mentoring, next level coaching, or just next level exercise. Like maybe you don't even need to hire a coach. Maybe you need to have some spiritual therapy.
Because that's where it goes from if you're catching yourself in that rut and that feeling. But if you stay in the mindset of just talking about it, and I want to say this real quick, is if you feel like you're just seeking out other peers to just talk about it. You will stay exactly where you are as long as you are just talking about it.
I was mortified when they said, Libby, stop complaining about this. Do it or please leave. I was like, oh God, I'm just talking about it. I'm just complaining. Like do something. You know, one of my grandma's sayings, you know, it's time to piss or get off the pot. I could get banned from Facebook soon, but that's like literally the saying. It's time to do that or get off the pot because you're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And my grandma was an old, fun country lady. Man, I remember as a kid, she'd ask me to give her a Pabst Blue Ribbon and a cigarette. And I didn't even know what that was at the time. And it goes to show you how old Pabst Blue Ribbon is. But it's one of those things where if you're feeling that way, and that's the way I felt. And that's why you might see this evolution of change like in me or in Chris, because I invite Chris to come with me. We talked about this on the last morning date. I invite, hey, I just signed up for this group. They'll let you in. You're on my team. And I'm like, if you want to join, sure. And that's how I bring my whole team. Eliani, she's in one of the groups that we're in that's part of the software of Dan Martell's SaaS Academy. She's in there as my head of customer success. And she loves it. Mm-hmm. Because you have to bring them with you too. And if you want to come, great. And if you don't, Tell me, because I'm going to invite four other people or three other people that want to learn. I don't care if you're a manager or a cleaning technician, entry level, or if you're our COO, you're coming with me if you want to learn. And if you don't, that's fine. Just let me know so I can invite somebody else.
It's that alignment, that vision. Mm-hmm. Who is going to be there with you to drive you?
The second you say, just let me know, because if you don't want to, I'm going to invite somebody else. Whoa. Wait a minute. What do you mean? Somebody else.
Yeah. How do you shut that fear out to take action?
I have a suggestion.
So I do have a lot of personal thoughts and kind of, I want to be a little bit more bold in what I think about myself, but you go ahead first.
Okay. Teresa, the way I've learned and the way they've taught me is to do scary things intentionally and controlled. So that is why we're going to throw you in a pool with your hands tied behind your back. Try not to drown. Rappel off a 475-foot building. Eat fire. So I feel that doing things that scare us intentionally, setting it up to do it on a certain cadence regularly, teaches you how to face fear. Face the fear. It teaches you how to breathe through it. It teaches you how to, it's all in our mind. So literally when I was getting to rappel off the side of the building, I don't know how I did it. We were eating dinner on a rooftop this week. And I told Chris, I'm looking down. I was like, I don't know how I rappelled off the side of the building. Because one, it was higher than this building, probably twice as high. And I'm like, I'm scared right now. And I'm just eating here. But when they had us do that, it's all in our mind. Fear is in our mind, right? And so having us do this intentionally, scary things on a regular, right? I learned that it's all in my mind and I can talk myself through it and breathe myself through it, right? So, when I was in Surface Autopilot Elite with Jonathan, he did the same thing with us. He would expose us to scary things, not necessarily scary, but adventurous things. Dan does more scary things, adventurous things to talk myself through it. It's all in my mind and I can sit here and coach myself through the fear to get to the other side.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I honestly, I love rock climbing for that exact reason, is that I am terrified of heights. If you don't know me, I am terrified of heights, but you'll know that I love rock climbing. It's the weirdest thing.
I didn't know you were scared of heights. Oh yeah, I did. Because when I went off the side of the building, Chris was like, I don't think I could do that. Yeah. He's like, I'm scared of heights. And I was like, you are?
Yeah. No, I'm terrified of heights. But again, I am driven to rock climbing, and that's where I first learned, without knowing it, breath work, and that I was able to, again, because the higher you have of the grades of climbing, the more centered and focused you have to be about every move being as intentional as possible. Because again, you're talking about crimps and little things that are so hard to grab a hold of. I mean, you might go to the gym and you'll climb through and you'll have these big jugs or buckets, things to hold on to. That's not what I mean. What I mean is things that you can barely even pinch with two fingers. And you're spread across the wall and you're trying to hold yourself while also looking down to find a place to put your foot. And you're looking down 40 feet down and you're like, oh my God. But it's having to force myself through that mindset to keep this extreme clarity. And I learned how to do breath work through climbing and how to control my body movement so that I was not shaking. I was not sweating. Because if you sweat, you slip off and you fall. But you had to learn to control, again, even your internal mechanisms with your body so you don't sweat. While you're climbing, you don't have this buildup of anxiety. You have to control your breathing. You have to control your mindset as much as possible while looking 40 feet down and figure out how to get the heck to the top so that you can get the heck down. That's where I first learned it. And it's something that really, really drives me. And I've noticed that I've been able to, after realizing it, start applying to this to every part in my life. I now teach this to Yaya in terms of breath work, controlling the fear mechanisms to start to kind of take control of it. She's started to experience this, and this is why I expose her to things that scare her. Girl Scouts is a great, great thing. And you'll see that she has an element of fearlessness to her the same way that her mom does, because we have continuously exposed her to these moments of fear, these moments of anxiety, but let her work through it in a controlled, patterned environment.
I think a big thing too, this is a great question. It's also, so it's when you're doing things on purpose that scare you, you learn how to coach yourself through it. But the other side of that too is it takes a tremendous amount of trust. So you're building trust while coaching yourself through it, which a lot of us lack trust. I'll admit, when I first started business, I didn't trust nobody. No one can do it as good as me. But when you're doing scary things on purpose, you're also having to trust the rope. Trust that you're not going to drown. Like, trust that the fire, the people teaching us how to eat the fire, trust them that when they say it's not going to burn, that I believe them, I'm going to do it, and it's not going to burn. Even though I did it wrong and it burned the first time, it's okay. Because I learned, like, you're like, oh. And then when you're hit with an issue, when you're hit with somebody quitting, somebody trashing you on social media or your business because it was a bad hire or bad employee, when you're hit with those, you're like, oh, this is a piece of cake compared to rappelling off a 475-foot building. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this is easy. It's nothing. And I think it's because if we're living, and I want to ask everybody this, and so I want to ask everybody listening or watching the replay, are you living day to day comfortable? Like comfortable as in like, I get up, I check some email, do my computer, I make a process, I get on a Zoom call, I, you know, maybe watch a recording of a teaching, I learn this, I implement that, I make dinner, I go to sleep, I wake up, I do it again. That is why we're still operating with so much fear. Or are you getting up every day looking for something to intentionally scare you that you're scared or nervous to do? For years, I've been looking for like my unique ability. I told Chris, I want to read 10X is easier. No, I'm sorry. Live My Future Self Now. First time I read it, it was dangerous. We threw everything in our house away. Like we threw everything in the house. Like, this is not how a $5 million owner lives. Dangerous. But I want to read it again because I have kept pushing through fear. So like, how many people are here scared to go live on social media? Like at a drop of a hat, pick up the phone and go live. It scares a lot of people, but and it used to scare me to death. I would never do it. I was horrible. But I do it every day now. I do it every day. And now it's like a piece of cake. I'm like, I'll go live. I haven't even brushed my teeth or my hair. I'll go live. Sure. Thought comes into my brain and I'm like, oh, I'm going to share it right now. Because if I don't, I'm going to forget. Like, did you guys see my live in the bathroom the other day with my shampoo? I was like, I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah.
I've been doing it so much every day that now it's so easy. And I thought that that was my unique ability, like to be able to like go live or be on video. I'm like, no, that's actually very superficial to say that's my unique ability because now that's become easy. And so everybody here saying me, yep, yeah. And I'm not saying you have to go live. I'm just saying that used to scare me, but I had to do it. For us, we did it during COVID to help our business kind of get through, and I did it with our customers. I was like the information source of disinfectant and like cleaning so that please use us because we need to pay our bills during COVID. And I had to do it. And because we did it every day, my goal is every day. Now it's like, oh, this is easy. But are you waking up doing that? And that's not a true, like, that isn't your purpose, right? To wake up, make a process, watch a module, go on a call, great, cook dinner. Go to, no, we, if you're an entrepreneur, there's so much more inside of you that you have the ability to do because of how we're made and wired.
Consistency brings comfort, and comfort is that ceiling that will keep you there.
Yeah. And it's just interesting. Like, and it can be anything. An example is like, you know, when I first, I wanted to bring, a Reiki breathing exercise to some of my friends because I was exposed to it from my mentor and it changed my life. Was I skeptical? Sure. Was I scared? I wasn't scared, but I was kind of uncomfortable. I'd never done one. And then when I did it, and I've done it like 3 or 4 times now in the group we're in, and then I brought it to some friends and I was like, hey, I want you guys to try this. And they were all like, no, I don't want to do it. No, I don't like, cause it's supposed to be like, you have like this out of body experience. Oh, I don't. I want to be able to control everything. But it's your mind. You can control it. And they're like, no. And I just kind of thought to myself, and this was just a breathing exercise. Even if that little thing like that scares you, mm-hmm. do it. At the end of the day, you can control it. You know, going climbing, does it scare you? What makes you uncomfortable? Because there's a difference between uncomfortable and fear.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we just first start with what makes us uncomfortable. Like, let me just make myself uncomfortable. Then I can work up to fear.
Uncomfortable is, it's microdosing your fear.
It's microdosing. I've never microdosed. I've met a microdosing. We're talking about something else. I've met a coach. I went to a speaker's training, like to learn how to speak on stage. And there was a microdose therapist there. And I was like, I've never heard of that. Tell me more about it. But it is. It's the microdosing we need of uncomfortableness to get to that big, those big scary things. So, you know, for Teresa, you're going to be able to rappel off the side of a building right away or like do those really scary things, but microdose every day. What can I do to make me uncomfortable so that I can It's just like anything, like exercise, practice, consistency. I'm going to tell you what one of our employees at WootRecruit does. I love him. He's one of our management. He's on our management team. I love him. But me and him, we don't work well together because he's very quiet and I'm very like, tell me what you're thinking. But anyways, I still love him. Believe me, that's my problem, not his problem. But he is trying to force himself to do this. And so he's doing social experiments. On himself to try to get more while being uncomfortable. And so what he's done is he's like going out in public, wearing things that he wouldn't typically wear to purposely make himself uncomfortable.
And not just typically, but things that are completely out of his
completely
nature.
And he like dyed his hair purple. And he's the most quietest, reserved guy you've ever met. But he knows that if he doesn't get comfortable being comfortable, that he's never going to grow as a person. So he's like socially doing things to be uncomfortable, like wearing some of the weirdest, like I think he said he dressed up in goth clothes the other day and went out in public so that he got comfortable with people staring at him.
Yeah.
I was like, that's weird, but it also makes sense if you're trying to micro get there to the bigger thing.
It's microdosing your fear.
Yes. So I'll go live. So it's like,
so can I talk about real quick? And I've said this a number of times before, but for me, microdosing my fear, there's little things that I've, little quirks that I do now that incorporate that or pull that in and kind of allow me that opportunity. And one of them is that I will, about 95% of stuff, I will not say no. So I've leaned into the idea of saying yes to everything. And the reason is because I'm an extreme introvert, or I used to be. I don't know what I am now. I'm still figuring myself out. But I would never say no. And I always give the example of One Direction. I used to work with them for 4 years, actually. And after the shows, we would always, because they were doing stadium tours, by the fourth year, they were doing stadium tours.
Chris never saw so many A-cup bras in his life.
Yeah, thrown on stage. It's ridiculous.
When he worked for One Direction.
But after the shows in the stadium, there would be this time where you wouldn't break down because you'd usually be in the stadium for a number of days because it takes days to set up and one day to break down. But under the stage after the show, the boys would come and hang out and just kind of hang out with the crew. And I remember...
Who are the boys?
The One Direction boys. So
yeah, I know. Yeah, you said Niall. The boys. They don't know who the boys are.
But Niall, I remember him specifically. He was down there and he asked me if I wanted to... Again, they're over 21, by the way, at that point.
So were you.
And so was I. But he asked if I wanted a drink. And I said, I didn't just say no thanks or appreciate it, but no thanks. No. I said, no, I don't drink. And then he was like... Okay. And from there, it was just done. But what I ended up taking from that experience was, number one is I put up my wall of insecurity. I said, no, I didn't even lean into it. And I said, I don't drink because I don't, but I didn't realize it, but it was an element of self-sabotage because I kept retreating back to this extreme comfort. I had this massive glass ceiling that I could not break out of because naturally I had this anxiety about it.
I'm like, why? Just hold it in your hand. You don't even have to drink it. Say
but
yes.
What I've come to find out, and after going through that experience and other things as well, I've said no to many other people as well. Dan Auerbach, Black Keys. There's been moments where I said no as well. But looking back at it, you know, that's something that I now take into every single day is saying yes to almost everything, as long as it doesn't put my life in danger to the point that I can't handle it. But I say yes to everything. Great example is actually recently is I asked some thoughts on, I noticed that Aaron was going to, he was going to the
Virgin Islands.
I'm sorry, Virgin Islands. You're right. And I messaged him. And I said, hey, looks amazing, by the way. Have a great time. You know, just let me know how it is because I'd love to plan something out eventually. Just would love to know your input. And he's like, we're going to be down here for a whole month. Why don't you guys come down and join us? And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And so for me as an introvert, it was really hard, but I didn't say no. And again, this is even down to if I walk into the house and somebody says, would you like a drink? I don't even hesitate. I say yes. At first, I thought it was selfish. I'm like, I don't want to take somebody's food. I don't want to be a mooch, whatever. But I realized that one is I need to lean into what makes me uncomfortable. But two is I realized that I was doing more harm than good by saying no, because it ended up kind of demeaning or putting down other people when there's no reason to.
Well, you were keeping yourself comfortable.
I was keeping myself comfortable. But at the same time, I was also suppressing other people. I was pushing other people down because they were trying to reach out and give back or do something. Again, 48 Laws of Power is there's some reason for them to offer what they offer because it makes them feel good inside, because it makes them feel good to help other people. And by me saying no, it actually pushed them down and it was demeaning to them. And so if I said yes, and I told myself this, if I say yes, I'm not only benefiting myself in helping myself get through things, I also help other people feel better about themselves. And so it's not that I'm being selfish. It's not that I'm trying to be egotistic or take things. It's a work in progress, but it's also helping me get past uncomfortable and another way to help people out. And I know this is more long-winded, but how do you stop that feeling of comfort and go into action? I think there's a secret behind saying yes to yourself.
Yeah, I mean, definitely there is. And next level to me in any business has nothing to do with systems and processes. It has nothing to do with even your team, I'll be honest. Next level life, mastery, business has everything to do with you, me, us individually. And it's like next level you. It's, you know, I was just reading it. You know, it's law 25. You have to recreate yourself. Right. And what we don't realize is that every version, typically it happens with a revenue level and sometimes it doesn't. Mine happens with revenue. Mine doesn't. It does and it doesn't because I own multiple companies that are over $1 million. So it's not a revenue level in one company. It's a combination. And it's like I have to recreate myself every time. And Chris can contest to this. It's like, okay, what's the next version of me? It may sometimes it looks different and sometimes it doesn't because it's inside, right? Sometimes what's the next version? I told him I need the spiritual coaching. I need to find. So, you know, I have to get to the next level. What is that? And so for me personally, I don't really like organized religion. But I do believe in God. So there is that like deeper understanding of that. And for me, it's just more about how I grew up in childhood and Catholicism. And I'm like, you know, I'm probably not going to heaven in those terms. But I do believe in God and I need to figure that out. And we're, you know, you work on that and that's the next level. What's the next level? So it's one of those things where it has nothing to do with your team, has nothing to do with your processes really. And it has everything to do with you because by you doing that, you can create this crazy following within your team and your company and your family. And like, they see that you have like clarity or fulfillment and not in total life, because I think that's a chase, right? We're chasing that, but fulfillment and where you're at right now and where they want that. And they see it in the way you show up and the way you talk and the way you walk in a room. They want that fulfillment that you've just achieved.
Yeah. And I want to give this here for those that are supporting roles in either a business relationship or a personal relationship. For those that are in a supporting role where revenue isn't a thing because you don't directly drive it. But again, like we talked about last week, is there's different ways to apply this mindset. One is the 10x of the mindset for that extreme entrepreneur. But then there's the other level of the 10x level of understanding, is these changes in yourself can also happen with a complete reconstructing the understanding. Even though you don't directly apply it to revenue or output, there's another level of you in terms of understanding that happens. You can strip it back every time you reinvent yourself. You can reinvent your level of understanding if you are in a supporting role, because you don't have to be, again, doing lives and all this other stuff. But if there's that mindset to help unlock the next level of anything, it's there. And it doesn't have to be directly with revenue. I want to say that this personally is something that I feel I've achieved a number of times, and I want to explain why. It's because I have never owned a company. I have never driven it personally by myself. But at the same time, I was still able to achieve these extreme levels of accountability, these extreme levels of change, because I had a 10x level of understanding and I recreated myself a number of times mentally, because I was so invested in myself and understanding people and understanding psychology. And this, in terms of preventing that blocker, that ceiling, is I reinvented myself a number of times personally without being involved in anybody else. And this was through learning and reading and understanding myself, so that when it was time for me to start applying it to something, I wasn't starting from zero. I was starting from the next level of understanding about myself, which is the reason why I was able to adapt to a situation much faster than somebody else could, because I had already worked on myself and there was this potential that was sitting there that was just ready to be utilized. It wasn't that I was starting from zero. I had built up this reinvention of myself and of my potential.
Well, there's a statement, and I want everyone to remember this. And this is in anything in life. So as you guys all know, I think I don't even remember how old I was, but I had to start all over, like kicked out, lost everything. And what Chris said, he wasn't starting from zero. This is the, like this statement when everyone says, oh, I'm starting from zero, or I'm, you know, it's, you're starting from experience. We're never starting from zero, right? We're starting from experience. And if we take that mindset with where we're like, when we go in to do something else, when we go to work on something new, we're starting from experience and knowledge.
Yeah.
Not from zero. So you're always more ahead than you think you are.
Yeah. And this could be internal experience or external.
Yes. So this book was recommended to me because, again, I am focusing on that spiritual journey and Many Lives, Many Masters. It's a book. Very interesting. It may not be for everyone, may not be everybody's cup of tea. Very, very interesting. Just when you read it, you're kind of like, huh, so many things now make sense. Very good and interesting book on that kind of that spiritual journey of, you know, self-discovery. So love that. I'm an EO, which is, it's Entrepreneurs Organization. It's a global network of entrepreneurs. And I'm an EO and I'm in the Miami-Dade chapter. I drive 2 hours to go to these meetings. And so, you know, everyone's like big Gino Wickman fans and EOS. This is where it started. I love to go to the source. Where did it start? Like Cameron Harold mentions EO in Second in Command. And I'm like, huh, go to the source. So I've been an EO for 2 years now, and man, EO taught me so much about myself. And to stop like teaching, I read this in a book, you should do it. Like how many speakers and mentors have we seen that they just read, they're just teaching me a recap of a book. I'm like, I read this book versus like experience share. And so we get to call each other out in the group when someone starts to give advice versus experience. And we all have experience to share. It just may be at different levels versus like going straight to something you read and you've never tried it. It's so much more powerful to experience share than to just teach theory. Like, oh, you should do X, Y, and Z because I read that in a book.
And so many people teach from theory.
So many people teach from theory. And that's why when they teach, have you ever felt that it's like flat? Or there's no emotion in it. Have you noticed that like my teaching has gotten much more emotional and passionate? Because I've learned to share from experience versus like some great thing I read in a book. Just it's next level, like sharing or teaching. But I love it because it taught me an EO. It taught me to, because they'll call you out. You'll be like, well, stop, Gestapo. It's called Gestapo. Don't ask me why. I was like, you're teaching, or I'm sorry, you're giving advice. No advice. You have to say, and you have to say like in my experience, or if I were in your shoes, like so that it teaches your brain how to do that. And it was so hard for me because we want to word vomit everything we read, everything we learned. My friend tried this. You can't. It's actually, it's against the rules. And so, and then this year I somehow got elected to be the moderator, which also taught me how to shut up and like moderate. So I've been in 2 years now and it's been great. It taught me so much stuff. And then it also taught me like, oh, this, like, where did EOS come? The basis, like familiar similarities. And then like, oh, like certain things that you read and come into play with, you're like, yeah, that's...
It's not entirely EOS because there's different things that are not included and they explain that as well. Because it's not just apples for apples. It's entirely different mindset, entirely different framework.
Yep, totally different framework. Some things were taken from it that are in EOS versus EO was founded like before that. And EO can be similar to like YPO. It's here in the Miami chapter, you have to submit your tax return. You have to be $2.5 million to even be
considered.
We have 300 members in our Miami-Dade chapter. So
one of the largest chapters.
It is the, I think it is the largest chapter in the world.
Okay.
I think Miami-Dade broke it. I think they have 250 or 240 members, but it's great. It's kind of expensive. I think it cost me like, I don't remember. You'd have to, I think it's different everywhere. Because again, to get in the Miami chapter, it's 2.5 million. But I think one of my friends, Corey, he's in lawn care and landscaping. He's the one who introduced me to EO. He's like, Corey and Ted, they're like, you have to join this. And I think like for them, they said it was only $1 million and you have to actually submit your tax return.
I'm not sure if it's a regional thing or not.
I think it's regional, but I think because Miami, it's much more money, money. The entry level is a little bit higher, so it's different everywhere. But man, Kathy, that right there, and probably Chris can contest. I kind of shut my mouth now and say, instead of just like, well, I read in the book, or I read blah, blah, blah. Now it's kind of more from my heart and more with passion when I go to teach and speak.
Yeah. So it must be a regional thing or kind of they set their own rules.
Yep. I think it's per chapter. And then each forum has their own set of bylaws. I'm the moderator this year, which I don't like it because, but they only picked me because I was the organized one. And, but yes, it is great. I love it as well. And I love my forum members as well. But we'll wrap up. We've been on for an hour and a half. We come on every Saturday. So you guys probably haven't, you guys might notice this or might not, but I have been traveling less and involved in less things. This is my commitment to 2025, is to not travel to speak on stage or to teach. It is to stay put and to coach my own team and to then share with you guys. Because when I was traveling, when I was speaking on stage, I realized that all it was doing was feeding my ego, and that we could make a bigger impact if we shared virtually, where we could share with thousands of people, or if I just taught my own team. Crazy theory, but teaching your own team doesn't feed your ego. So my commitment this year is we're much more consistent, and we want to be true to ourselves, our health, our family. And so I actually declined all speaking engagements except for one this year. And that is because, and so I did it at first because it scared me, right? And then I did it at first because it stroked my ego. After that, after it scaring me, then it stroked my ego. And then now I've committed 2025, at least the first 6 months. No travel, no stage. I could help a small room, but if I was more committed to myself and my health and my family, and I shared that through these means by sitting here, I could help more people.
Which is the reason why 1LD lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's so important.
And I've also committed this year to working on the 1LD lifestyle, the program that we launched. It's all intentional in the book. So we're preparing for the book. Like, we're building up the Liberty Lution brand for the book launch. And so I couldn't do all things. I couldn't. So I had to stay my butt home.
I would say that the theme for this year would be intention. Like, it's in everything. Travel with intention, doing things with intention.
Yep.
Because the next version of Libby isn't just doing things because it's on the calendar. The next level of Libby means that even Chris is involved in protecting Libby at all costs from herself, and keeping that high level of intention, even like next level intention.
But I told Marilyn, I said, oh my God, there's nothing on my calendar. Like, I can actually work. There's no training. There's there's very little on my calendar. It's very intentional. So I'm excited for 2025 because I'm doing less to do more.
Yeah, crazy thought.
Crazy thought. Do less to do more. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.